and welcome to the Miami Tech Update, April 12th, 2018. We haven't had an episode in a while, but usually I like to bring in people that I meet up at meetups. And the one usual meetup that I go to every month is Refresh Miami. And I met Michael Freeburg. I actually remember this. I met him at the Refresh Miami Christmas shindig or holiday shindig. No, actually in November, like it was like an outside block party. But anyways, we got Michael Freeburg on the line. Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
So, Mike, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? What is your experience with the tech industry here in Miami? What are you doing lately? Things like that.
Well, my background originally is from SEO, internet marketing, and I stumbled upon programming because, you know, I like to be creative. I learned PHP first, and then I learned Python. Then I learned a framework for PHP called Laravel, and that's actually what I've been building my app in the past 2 years on. And I also learned other frameworks like Django and getting into a little bit of machine learning on the side too.
Yeah, like I was seeing from your LinkedIn, you created some type of a prototype website, I think, called .io or...
Hang on, you kind of... Proto.io?
Yeah.
Proto.io is actually the thing we went to at Refresh, where we learned how to use that program to develop, you know, an app prototype for a developer.
Okay.
Hang on. Google keeps calling me because I have like 10 pay-per-click campaigns running me, and every time I pause one, they like bombard my phone. Sorry about that.
Oh no. It's okay. Okay, cool. So, can you tell us a little bit about your SEO experience? How's that going out now, right now?
Say again. It kind of cut off.
Can you tell us your SEO experience?
Oh, I've been doing SEO for the past 7 years now. Like I started off with really hard with something I was trying to do across the whole United States for the transportation industry. And this was going back before Uber was around. And we were trying to rank high on every page, every city for limousines. And that's actually where I started out from for myself. And that didn't go so well. It was too hard than what I first anticipated. And I came back from Florida. I actually moved to Canada to go do that. And then when I moved back to Florida, I got, you know, my first SEO job for a guy in Coral Springs. And I eventually worked in Miami after that for a bigger marketing company for doing SEO for legal. And then I came to where I'm at right now doing SEO for insurance. And that's where I got these guys on the first position of the first page in Texas for their campaign. And it's going really well now. I've pretty much killed it, you know.
Reading your LinkedIn resume, it says you're a full stack developer. Can you explain to the audience what is a full stack developer?
A full stack developer is someone who knows how to do you know, a scripting language like PHP or Python, database manipulation with that scripting language, and, you know, pretty much being able to maintain a website, for example, would be like a full stack developer, and also maintain the network that website's on.
So you're
like, I also do.
Yeah, go ahead.
Say again?
No, go ahead. Keep going.
Oh, yeah. Currently, I manage over 200 or 300 websites. Make sure they're staying up and stuff. Most of them are on WordPress.
Oh, so
they get hacked every day.
So you're a WordPress guy.
Yeah, I'm a WordPress guy. I like WordPress. The only thing I don't like about WordPress is the fact that it's so widely used. It's so easy for hackers to infiltrate its vulnerabilities. For example, like the XML RPC attack. I don't know if you're aware of that, but someone can literally bombard that file and break your database connection and then crash your website. And then you got to know about it and turn it back on.
Yeah, I mean, I've had issues with hacks via WordPress. It's very vulnerable. But like, as of late, I've seen that WordPress has put better security patches into their system, their platform. So it's been it's been better. But also, there's also variables when it comes to your hosting. Who's your hosting account? Do you have a secure plugin as well? You know, do you have the patches? Do you use WordFence or Security for your security plugin?
Oh, actually, for security? No, what I did was I kind of disabled the XML RPC. Like, there's only one IP address you can access it from, but I go into the comp file of Apache or Nginx, and I, you know, restrict that file's access. And that pretty much solved that problem right away.
Man, you're very technical.
Yeah, I use I use Ansible to manage a lot of these servers, because prior to that, I used one of these CMS managers, multi-CMS managers for WordPress, and the hackers actually found out I was using that plugin somehow, and they installed a worm throughout my network and hacked my entire, like, hacked 200 to 300 of my websites, and they were actually sending out spam mail from those 200 to 300 websites to get my server host provider, which was Amazon and DigitalOcean, to try to, like, do some sort of, you know, manual action, like, try to shut down my server. So they got very creative in their style of attacking.
Yeah, these hackers, I mean, I'm not sure what's their goal. Is it monetary? Is it just they just want to mess with people's heads? But I don't know.
Well, these attacks only started happening once I got on the first page of Google for their website. So, I mean, I'm in a very dark industry, the insurance industry. You know, it's a $1 billion industry. And, you know, it's easier to knock somebody down on the first page to get your website up than it is to get your website up organically, you know, doing it the right way.
So, yeah, no, it's true. Especially, I've worked with health insurance agents for the past couple of months. And, yeah, they're all about being first on Google. And it's a very competitive market, big league. But it's just so convoluted, I think. But the best thing to deal with that, I think, is Google AdWords.
Yeah, we use both Google AdWords, and we do it organic too, because I actually noticed that if you are ranking organically, and even though it takes a long time to get there, it is more cost effective than doing the whole pay-per-click avenue of it.
Yeah, exactly. And also, you are currently a Florida International University FIU student. How's that going?
Yes, I am. It's still away. I'm trying to get my bachelor's in computer science, and it's going well. It's just, you know, taking a few classes at a time.
What have you noticed? I mean, there's been this huge debate. Should you go to college for coding? Should you just go to these boot camps? What's your honest opinion? Like, what's the style like at FIU?
You definitely don't need a degree to get a tech job. However, I feel that if you have a degree, it's a lot easier to get a better quality tech job. For example, like Ultimate Software, they tend to hire bachelor degrees. However, they do have people who have no formal degree working for their company. But they do pay you based on what school you go to, so I think a degree definitely helps. And I there's other reasons why I want to get my degree, mostly for the connections that I would get, you know, meeting classmates and stuff like that, people who are really smart. Those are hard to come by, in, I guess, in the real world, especially here in Miami.
Being here in Miami, I've noticed there's a lot of boot camps. There's Wynwood, there's Iron Hack, there's Four Geeks, and there's probably others. What have you heard about them? What do you think about them?
Well, I know people who went there, you know, they had no knowledge of code. And after they're done with the boot camp, you know, they become a Ruby on Rails developer, and they, you know, they get a job right away. I feel that if you need a tutor, someone to train you very well in a very fast paced manner, I think Iron Hack and WinCode would be a good option for you. But you don't really need them. You can go on to like python.org or Google Ruby on Rails and find good documentation on how to learn those languages and crack open your Mac, and you could probably learn it yourself if you're very disciplined.
Yeah, it's my friend Alan G. Alan Thinks. I'm not sure if you met him, but he's at a boot camp right now. It's called Four Geeks, and yeah, pretty much what you just said is it's good. It's like a has like that tutoring, someone shadowing you, and make sure you learn. But one significant thing that I've saw that they don't get give out grades. Maybe just in that school, but they don't give out like A, B, or C. They probably give out, you know, certifications, but I guess they provide that experience.
Yeah, really, companies, they want to see what you can do, you know. They say you need a bachelor's degree, but they also say, or equivalent experience. So I guess if you have an app developed, that can work in lieu of a bachelor's degree, because you can actually do the work that they give you. I mean, it all takes a bunch of practice to get experience. So these boot camps probably set you up and you build an app in the boot camp, and that right there is good enough to, you know, do the work that somebody gives you if you go decide to get a job.
I agree. I think a lot, like it has a lot to do, with your talent. What have you built? It's that situation, very similar to like an MVP, you know? It's a minimal viable product where you show the investor or the company what have you done, you know, and which sometimes they even ask you if you have a GitHub profile and do you have any projects to show. So it's pretty much proof is in the pudding.
Yeah, I actually have a GitHub. If you guys want to check it out, it's actually github.com/Michael Friedberg, and I post some projects. I got a lot of forks on there, though, but I do have a few public projects that I posted on there.
So, Mike, on Tuesday, we went to Refresh Miami, and Angela Guzman, she is a designer, was a designer at Apple, now at Google, and she designed the original, like emoji set. And what you think about, like, the whole meeting and her experience with that?
Oh, I think it's wonderful. It's kind of cool to meet somebody who made something so widely used around the world.
Yeah, and
she
was actually from Miami. She was born in Colombia, but she moved here to America when she was a child. But yeah, it was really interesting.
Yeah, it was. I actually kind of, you know, I listened for a few minutes, and then I kind of went to the back and started working on my own app because it inspired me to get something done.
That's why you had your computer back with you.
Yeah, I was working on, I'm working on an app right now for automatic SEO to help people who don't know too much about SEO or don't know too much about web building to actually build a website and then launch it and then market it themselves, or import their own existing website and market it themselves.
That's a good point, because a lot of my clients ask me, how do I get exposure? How do I get traffic? And I guess there's always those tools out there, but there hasn't been one that is like major breaking, but I guess maybe your tool might be.
Yeah, well, the main thing about SEO is really backlinks, and those are really hard to come by. You know, people want to charge you for them. People don't really want to give them out, and if they do give them out, they give them out with what's called a no-follow attribute, which Google doesn't respect, and you won't really get ranking for that.
Wow. If people want to know more about SEO, they could go to you.
Yeah, I'm actually planning to do a meetup and start teaching people SEO maybe like once a month and then maybe twice a month somewhere in Miami. I'm planning to do that.
You should do it, man, especially realtors. You'd be surprised how much they need that.
I'm a realtor myself. I actually got my real estate license when I was 18 years old, and I haven't sold or rented anything because it's just really so difficult. Yeah.
It is. It's just one of the things here in Miami, which I always say they're in like the top three industries, real estate, tourism/hospitality, and medical. But real estate, I think everyone and their cousin is a realtor.
Yeah. You know, I have a joke. I tell people, you know, in Florida, you get your driver's license and then you get your real estate license.
which it takes like a month or two to get?
Yeah, you just go, there's a place called Gold Coast Schools, and it's literally like, I think, a 63-hour class that you take. And then after you pass that class, you take the Florida state exam, and then you are a certified Florida real estate agent.
Yeah, But yeah, that's something that, you know, people have to look at. And I mean, I meet them everywhere and they always ask me, how do I generate traffic? And, you know, you could always talk to, contact Mike and hopefully we'll able to have a meeting. But back to the meeting on Tuesday, it was really interesting to hear that, you know, she was, she couldn't talk too much about any details, what's going on in the businesses, of course, as expected. But she didn't make it sound like Apple's more private than Google.
In what sense? Like, how they handle their data?
Yeah, well, like, their projects, obviously, or what's going on, any current projects or any product updates or what's going on with the product. And she was mentioning Google's a little bit more open, obviously. Which I can see that,
because, yeah, you know,
Android's more open source.
I've heard that Apple has most of their projects already in the pipeline for the next 2 years. I heard a rumor.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
pretty much like the iPhone 14 is probably already made somewhere and it's being held in a closet until it gets released.
Are you an Apple guy or a Google guy?
I am an Apple guy. I'm using an iPhone, and it's actually sitting on top of my MacBook Pro, and I'm wearing an iWatch right now, the iWatch 3. So I'm totally an Apple guy.
I'm about to get a Apple Watch 3, because my first one broke a couple weeks ago. So, but have you used like the whole calling through your watch thing?
Oh, I've used that. You actually can swim with this watch on. You put it on the water mode.
Yeah,
and,
but
it will actually lock all the internal components.
Oh, wow, but you can't go like, you know, deep diving with it.
You can go down up to 50 meters.
Wow, that's
so. That's pretty deep. I don't even think I can go down like 10 meters while my ears popping. But I've used it. I use it every day. I go swimming with it every day. And it tracks how many meters I swim. And it's a really great watch, you know. I thought it was overpriced, but after realizing what other features it does, like tracks your heartbeats and stuff, wakes you up, tells you when to stand, it's a really great watch. I love it.
So, Mike, you're 26 years old. I honestly haven't met too many people your age hustling this early. I usually go to these meetings and you know, they're in their 30s, maybe 40s, but you're definitely, what brings you that drive? Is it something that is in your DNA, with your family, into entrepreneurship?
I really think it's where I come from. You know, my mom, she's from Rio de Janeiro. My mom has a fourth grade education. What I mean by that, it's her family. She came from a very big family, like a family of 12. They pulled her out of grade school at fourth grade to like go work and stuff. So my mom, you know, she really never had an education. So, and my father, he only had a high school diploma, and he was also a convicted felon for son small, but he got a felony. So, he really never had a really good job. So I came from a very poor background, you know, where, you know, like we're eating ramen noodles and stuff. So I always wanted more. And that's what really pushes me a lot to, you know, try to get more in life. Cause I know, like, if I ever have kids, you know, I don't want them to follow the same path as me. You know, I want them to have more than what I had.
Yeah, which reminds me of Gary Vee, where his story was he moved to America. He lived in a one-bedroom apartment and, like, you know, 20 people, you know, stuffed in together. And then, you know, very similar to yours. Like, he, you know, his dad hustled, you know, for his family, and then he hustled and made the company bigger for his dad, and then it created his own company called VaynerMedia. So
yeah,
that's a good goal to have. It feels like, you know, you get to have some type of perseverance just to make it out of that hump, you know. I see people that are not like are unmotivated, but you gotta have a goal in mind.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Gary Vee too, you know. Just gotta keep, you can't give up. Like, my thing is, if you're gonna decide to do something, you have to continue on it. You have to pursue it for a very long time, because a lot of people, you know, they see the reward. Like, they see the runner, you know, hit the, you know, the finish line with the ribbon and getting the trophy and stuff. And that's what they want. They want, you know, what he gets in the last 4 minutes. But what they don't see is the training, the, you know, the, how long it took him to become that fast or her to become that fast. They don't want none of that. They just want instant gratification. And it's not, it doesn't work that way. You have to, you know, you have to stick with what you're doing probably for like 3 to 4 years before you ever, you know, see any results from your work.
If you had to talk to one of these entrepreneurs, Gary V, Grant Cardone, or Ty Lopez, who would you talk to?
Definitely Gary V. I feel like Gary V is very genuine and he actually has the experience. You know, he says like, hey guys, I've been doing this since I was like 19 years old and I didn't really get anywhere until I was pretty much like in my 30s. So he's the most genuine. He'll tell you the truth. You know, I feel like Grant Cardone and the other guy you mentioned,
Ty Lopez,
Ty Lopez, they kind of like flash, like I said, the reward in front of you, the Lamborghini, the jets, you know, 10X. Oh, look at my jet and stuff like that. And they, you know, they pull you into that, you know, knowing that half of them is not going to, you know, go past the first day because they already gave up. Gary Vee straight up tells you like, hey guys, this is going to take a long time. You guys can't get it overnight, you know? And I remember Gary Vee had an interview with somebody. And this person was literally jealous because they weren't like one of the Kardashians. You know, it's like, hey, you know, the Kardashians came from previous generations. If you're starting off, you got to go through at least 10 years before you get, you know, anywhere near their level. You know, he tells you how it is.
Yeah, exactly. And you're right about Gary Vee. Gary Vee never shows off his car. I don't know if he owns a Lambo. I don't think he does. I don't think he has his own private jet. But I think he goes on it sometimes like he rents one, but doesn't own one like Grant Cardone and maybe Ty Lopez, but he's very honest and real. I mean, he could literally quit his job and retire for the rest of his life and maybe buy a Lambo, but he doesn't do that.
I think he'll do that after he buys the Jets.
Yeah.
Cause that's his dream.
Yeah, that's and that's not a bad thing. I mean, none of these other guys are going to buy a football team. Maybe they will, but I haven't heard talking about it.
I don't think they would. I don't think they're spending so much money on their jets and their Lambo that they probably couldn't afford to buy the jets afterwards.
Mike, what other tech meetings do you go to in Miami?
I go to the Refresh Miami. I actually go, it's not in Miami, but I go to a machine learning meetup in Fort Lauderdale. And that was hosted by Microsoft, and there's some very smart people there. I was actually very impressed. There was this woman who had her master's degree in computer science, and she was getting her PhD in computer science, and she was actually from Iran. And she was offered a job by somebody there, high-paying job. She turned it down to pursue her PhD. So some very smart people go there, and they're making some really creative things. Like one thing they were working on was some weird device that uses TensorFlow, which is the open source machine learning library that Facebook and Snapchat uses. They're going to use that library to measure the temperature of your brain during surgery. And I don't know what they use it for, but just the power of technology has came to this point where you can measure the temperature of what's inside of you without, you know, using any invasive tools to open up your skull and, you know, take a thermometer, put it in you.
Wow. How do you see it, like the whole machine learning thing? Is it early on or is it, you know, getting really mainstream now?
I think it's getting mainstream. If you haven't noticed, Mark Zuckerberg was in front of Congress talking a lot about AI, which machine learning is AI, and I was using AI to, you know, take down ISIS posts that really shouldn't be on the web. And he's relying heavily on probably TensorFlow, if I had to guess, to do a lot of his work. And he, on top of that, anything TensorFlow can't do, he had to hire an additional 20,000 individuals to finish off the work. So, you know, AI versus 20,000 people, it's very impressive how AI, you know, can do so much work for humans.
So you were saying there's a lot of open source stuff on that. So anyone just go on maybe GitHub and download it and then just use it for a specific subject.
Oh, absolutely. You can go to TensorFlow.org and you can start learning your first machine learning code block right away in Python. They have it available for Python, I think C++, and maybe Java too.
That's
Python
interesting.
Definitely is the easiest, yeah.
Yeah, because I had to get into that, because that stuff is definitely going to get more mainstream, and which that will, well, that's a whole different story. But what is your take on blockchain technology?
Blockchain technology is very cool. I think it uses a lot of energy, but the whole purpose of it is very smart. They're using it for recording deeds now, I heard, in some states. As far as the cryptocurrency side, I like Bitcoin. I really think Bitcoin, the concept, is very smart, because I'm actually against the Federal Reserve and the fractional banking system. And I feel that Bitcoin is a way to, you know, protect yourself against that. I'm not a fan of these ICOs that have come out because of what's been going on.
Yeah, and Bitcoin shot up today about 11%, I think 17% this morning. And also the other coins as well shot up. So it's there might be a bull market coming.
Yeah, I think, like I said, it's a good time to buy right now. Like Warren Buffett says, where there is fear, be greedy. Where there is greed, be fearful. So right now is the best time to buy and get back in for, you know, probably for the next 6 to 8 months, and then you could make a decent profit.
What are your what coins are you invested in currently?
I'll tell you. Let me pull up my blockfolio. Give me a second here.
No problem. Mine, I can tell you mine while you're searching. Mine is my Bitcoin Cash, Litecoin, Ethereum, Ripple, Cardano, Tron, and I might want to get into Ontology and EOS. EOS is actually now fourth. They surpassed Litecoin in market cap.
I have only two. One is Bitcoin, and one is called Nebulous.
They're good, yeah. Nebulous is good, I heard.
Yeah, I actually follow a couple of people. One is Sunny Decree. He's a YouTuber, and he's a very smart guy from Switzerland. And I also follow a guy named Tone Vase, and Tone Vase is a financial guy.
Yeah,
and
he's good. He's popular.
Yeah, he's excellent. He's very smart. He actually predicted the dip. He said that Bitcoin would bounce off of like 7,200, and it did exactly that. So those two people are very credible in the crypto world.
I follow Crypto Bobby. Have you heard of him?
Not too familiar. I heard of a couple other people, but those two individuals that I mentioned really the only people I kind of know.
Yeah.
So, I actually knew others, but I kind of like disavowed them because what's his name? Trevon James.
Mm-hmm.
I don't follow him anymore.
Okay. Yeah, there's some interesting characters. Now that Google and Facebook are regulating these crypto people, you know, from their platforms. So it's too bad because it was, you know, it has so much promise. But with the whole hype in December, things are changing, and hopefully it'll get better. I mean, some guy predicted maybe by the end of the year, the Bitcoin will be back for 20 grand. So
yeah, I definitely feel bad for those people who took out student loans and maxed out their credit cards and stuff for only hype.
And yeah, buy Lambo.
I feel bad for anybody who invested into BitConnect. I feel horrible for those people.
Yes, BitConnect was not good, man. Not good. What are your favorite business books? If you read business books, what is your favorite one?
I think Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Rich Dad Poor Dad. That was actually my first business book that I've ever read. I gotta actually send you that list. I haven't been reading any, you know, business books in a while. I actually read more code documentation now lately.
Hey,
but
do it.
Yeah,
that's important for now. Rich Dad Poor Dad. Almost a lot of people, a lot of entrepreneurs read that book, and I hear a lot from real estate investors that real estate investors, it's part of like the entrepreneurship bubble, you know. But
yeah, Rich Dad Poor Dad, it definitely teaches you, you know, how to manage your cash. I guess another one would be the Cash Flow Quadrant. It's also written by Robert Kiyosaki.
Yeah.
And he pretty much explains, you know, are you going to be an individual worker? Are you going to be a, you know, someone who works for yourself? Are you going to be a business owner, and or are you going to be an investor? Really, for everybody out there listening, my best opinion for that is you can't be afraid to lose. Like, if you try anything, you're going to lose. And you have to look at failure as a step towards success. You can't look at failure as like, this is the end of my life, I ruined my life with this mistake. No, it doesn't work like that. You have to treat every failure as a step towards success, and eventually you will get there if you stick with it. You know, that's what I truly believe.
Yeah, I mean, failure. And has as to an be investor, mindset. Yeah, absolutely.
As an investor, I'm an investor too. I buy and I sell options. I write option contracts on the side as well. You have to look at loss as something that is expected. You can't always be on a winning streak. It's just not possible with market randomness. Just like what happened with the cold crypto stuff, this is expected to happen. So it will rebound. It might take some time, but if you hold or hodl or whatever you call it long enough, you will get back your investment. Unless you invest into BitConnect, then you're kind of done there.
Exactly. You gotta take a risk. You gotta take a risk.
Yeah, exactly.
Ready for some random rapid fire questions?
Sure, go for it.
Are you a dog or a cat person?
I'm a dog person. I love my dogs.
Red or blue?
Blue.
What's the worst pet to have?
That's a good question. probably an angry cat.
Yeah. And what does a global entrepreneur mean to you?
Like Mark Zuckerberg, someone who figures out a way to get his product in every single country and force them to use it. Or Bill Gates, both of those people, I think, is a global entrepreneur.
And last one, can you eat a whole large pizza in one setting?
No, you can't.
It's tough. I actually was able to do that in college, but I can't do that now.
I mean, I probably could, but I don't want to because I would get fat.
Which, by the way, Mike is doing the ketosis diet. It's a popular diet. How's that going so far?
Oh, I've been doing it for about 6 weeks. I've lost 20 pounds. Wow. I actually bought a fat analyzer, and I'm now 20% body fat, which almost there. I want to get down to like 15, 10% maybe.
Do you watch sports?
Yes, I watched the Super Bowl, the World Series, and the World Cup for soccer. That's it.
And are you not following the NBA?
I love to follow the NBA. I watch a game here and there. I like watching the Heat, but I don't follow it from start to finish. I just kind of like watch the last rounds because those are the most exciting for me.
Okay, yeah, because the playoffs begin this weekend, but we'll see. We'll see how we go. Miami Heat will play the Philadelphia 76ers. For the first round. First game will be on Saturday, 8 p.m., so it should be exciting.
Yeah, I'm surprised Dwayne Wade came back. I didn't think he was going to come back.
Yeah, me either. I guess he probably came back because, you know, he wants to finish his career here in Miami. Some people say he might have just one more season left in him, but we'll see.
Yeah.
But anyways, how can people reach you, Mike?
You can reach me on LinkedIn or GitHub, or you can send me an email. My email is hollywoodfl23@gmail.com. I will return to Instagram once I finish on goals. I actually deleted it because I noticed I was spending a lot of time on Instagram. But if you guys want, my Instagram is millionaire.vision_. So I'll be back to that user handle soon.
You know, one of my favorite things on Instagram to watch is barbers cutting hair.
Barber's cutting hair?
Yeah. I think it's an amazing craft.
Yeah, it is, especially when they draw pictures in people's scalp.
Yeah. That.
I don't even know how they do that. Yeah.
And then I also like to see those big industrial, what's it called? Those food trucks where they make these sandwiches, these food. So, but yeah, Instagram is an interesting platform. I don't know why I think they could. I mean, they could overtake YouTube, but YouTube's too massive.
Well, a lot of people, they take out their phone, they go on Instagram, man. It's really a, I don't know what about it is, but it's very addictive.
It's easier, and like the videos are short, and on YouTube, it feels like now people are just watching it on their computer only, or maybe on their Apple TV or in their Roku, but yeah, it feels like Instagram is just so easy to watch.
I think also because YouTube kind of sold out and ran a bunch of ads, so that ads are really annoying.
Yeah, they are. I mean, some of them you can just watch 4 seconds, but some of them you have to watch the whole 15 or 30 second one.
Yeah.
The ones that are like are really popular videos and like their main clients, I guess. But well, Mike, thanks for coming on the Miami Tech Update.
All right, thank you.